Marty White, modal realist private detective.
What if all possible worlds were literally real?
Don't do it, Hardy!
I have to try.
I will destroy you!
You got him!
I guess this makes you the world's first time-traveling detective.
It's not literally time travel. It's possible world shifting.
Let's start an agency!
Man, what a small possible world!
I built this from the ground up.
From the ground up what?
Corn cobs, I bet.
I thought maybe ground up plastic, like East German cars.
Oh, a Trabant.
Yeah.
Trabant.
Yeah, sorry, Hardy. Go on with your story about your ground up car.
No, I mean I built this from the bottom up.
Isn't that how most things are built?
Nope. My granddad always said, build the roof first, then you'll have something to stand under when you're building the house.
I mean our time travel detective firm. And now it's all over since the time machine is broken.
Ah, heck, man, I know that sucks.
Yeah, well, if it's any consolation, I have no sympathy because I have worse problems.
That's not really any consolation. But I mean, I started with no time machine or office or file cabinet or anything. And then, slowly over time, I got a time machine, and then an office, and then a filing cabinet.
Filing cabinet or file cabinet?
What?
You said both. First you said file cabinet, and then filing cabinet.
So?
People usually say one or the other.
But you said both in the same sentence.
Okay, so what?
You don't find that strange?
Is one wrong?
Not really.
People say both.
Then what's the big deal?
I've only seen that happen when we're in the time machine.
When you jump universes, you switch between selves or versions of yourself, and they're often subtle differences. Very subtle.
Bam, it happened again. We're in a time machine.
No, we're not. We're in your kitchen.
No, we aren't.
I'm with Lou. We're time traveling. I feel it in my gut.
Ni wei shuo zhong wang ma.
What?
That proves it. He doesn't speak Chinese yet.
I know. I don't?
Ni wei shuo dao wan ma.
What?
He doesn't speak German either.
You asked him in Chinese, though.
Oh.
And you don't speak Chinese. See, something's up.
But clearly, we're sitting in your kitchen, and the time machine is in the basement, and it's dead.
Well, we can fix it again when my mac and cheese is done.
What, Butchie?
Oh, I just borrowed a part off of it because the microwave one broke.
You borrowed a part? What part?
The timer.
The timer. You put the so-called timer from the time machine on the microwave.
Yeah.
Butchie, that's not a literal timer. We call it that because that's the thing that allows us to time travel.
Oh, what's that called when that happens? A homophone? Or is it a cognate?
You turned the microwave into a time machine, basically.
Oh, God knows where my mac and cheese is, then. The year 4? Because I set it for 4 minutes.
4 minutes?
Yeah, four and a half minutes.
In 4.5 minutes, you can literally travel millions of years.
Wow, that mac and cheese is in for a trip.
So, Butchie, here's an interesting thing about that timer unit. The radius is 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So when you turn that on, and you're within 10 feet of it, you are time traveling.
Fun.
Are you even listening? Butchie?
I don't think he can hear you.
Butchie.
Butchie!
He's out of phase. Oh, this is bad.
He doesn't see us anymore, does he?
No, he's just sitting there like he's alone. We may have never even existed to him.
We gotta turn this thing off.
But where are we? It's not hooked up to any controls. We're just spinning through thousands of possible worlds. Oh, this is ridiculous. We could end up in a two-dimensional world or some freaky, liquidy place I can't even imagine.
In those scenarios, we're dead, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, by all means, that's it.
But what happens if we keep careening like this? Oh, man, where am I? Where is this place? Hey, you know, it's actually quite beautiful and lush. Maybe this isn't too bad. All right, that's heavy.
Be sure to catch the next episode of Hardy White, Modal Realist Private Investigator, Monster Island.
Hello?
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 Hello? You don't know me.
No?
yet.
All right, that makes sense.
We are swimming in a sea of possibilities. But things are all causing each other. Restricting and constricting and limiting the possibilities to one possibility. One possible world.
Well, that's not what my family believes, but thank you for calling.
Oh, and one more thing.
What is it?
You're not Bill Klein, are you?
No, I'm Hardy White.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was calling to prank Bill Klein.
All right. Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world only to lose his own soul? Like the farmer said to the potato, I'll plant you now and pick you later. Way out. Deep.
Ski.
Oshish.
Ragu.
Puvin.
Vivek.
Oh, Vivek, I love Vivek.
Yeah, man, Vivek's the best.
What are you guys doing?
We're naming male Indian acquaintances.
Why on earth?
Well, just something to quantify. We like to compete.
No, I understand. Well, I'll tell you what, that's funny, because I was just going to talk about someone of Indian descent, and that is the Buddha.
The Buddha. I know that guy.
No, not the bouncer. This guy is a started religion. I don't know if he did it intentionally, but I'm going to tell you this story about the Buddha. Now, he's the historic Buddha lived in India, and I don't know what year, so nobody does. Isn't that amazing? When you're the center of your own world, no one knows that. But let me tell you the story anyway. So I know he's a very wealthy. His name was Sid Gautermo, which I think sounds like a Greek name, but whatever. And he was a very wealthy Indian, I'm saying prince. I'm going to say prince, like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but it's in India. And he lived in a gated community. And one time when he was very young, he got in trouble for stealing a golf cart. But it's not on his permanent record or anything. And when he got older, one day, I think the teenage Sid says, I'm going to take the chauffeur-driven chariot or something, whatever they had, out for a ride around town, see the world. And when he was out, the chariot, first it passed an old sickly man. And he said, there's an old sickly man, he said. Then they passed a dead body. And he said, there's a dead body right there. And then next they came upon a living scarecrow, a scarecrow that had been automated, and said, hey, let me down off of this peg, and we're going to go, let's go somewhere together. And he said, all right, hop in the chariot. So the Buddha and the scarecrow headed off. And the scarecrow said, I'm in search of a brain, I think. One of those, or I forget, because I don't have a brain. It might be a brain and a kidney. But because I don't have the brain, I don't remember. But I want that. That's what I'm looking for. What are you looking for? And Sid says, well, I'm looking for enlightenment. And Scarecrow says, well, what's that? And Sid says, well, I want to have that feeling and go, oh, all right. Okay. Like that. Oh, man, I think you're probably going to find that. Scarecrow says, I have that many times a day. It doesn't last. And Buddha says, well, I don't think this lasts either. He said, well, why are you looking for it? He goes, well, why do we look for food if you're just going to poop it out? He says, because we need nourishment. We need nutrition, don't we? Oh, that's why you've come here, my friends. We open today's show with cereal, just like we open our day. So that's different kind of cereal. They sound alike. No, they're the same thing, and they really are. The cereal you eat, and like the cereals you see on TV or on the radio, or say, oh, that's a series of things, that's cereal, like cereal numbers, is the same concept. I want you to do this. Go out and I want you to buy a box of cereal, like a Cap'n Crunch or whatever it's called. I don't know how to pronounce it.
and put that, take the pieces out. No, I'll tell you what, do this with Lucky Charms. Take Lucky Charms and take the pieces out and then put them, line them up in a row. Just keep lining them up in a row. Doesn't matter if the little oat parts or the marshmallows. Just keep lining them up. Put them all in a row. It'll be a finite number. It'll be very long. And then notice that all the marshmallows, the places they're at in that line, all represent prime numbers. Did you know that about cereal? It depends on the sugar content, is what I'm told. Oh, we must all start, not only should you start your day with a good balanced breakfast. When I was a child, they'd have cereal ads on TV, and they would say, the following thing constitutes a good breakfast. Orange juice, milk, okay? Orange juice, milk, bacon and eggs, toast, right? And also, and this sugar cereal. See, that's how they get it. They named something that was independently already a balanced breakfast and said, and our thing. It won't knock the balance off too bad. It's still balanced. So, oh, all right, that makes sense. But it's not really an integral part of it, is it? Oh, how many times a day do we do that to ourselves? Sell ourselves sugary cereal using some cartoon, some sort of image that we're in love with? Oh, I'm going to fool myself by having a little cartoon captain. Who doesn't respond to a little captain who looks like Blah, Captain, not Blah, what's the Mutiny on the Bounty one? Oh, my goodness. There's a strange-looking hat he's wearing. He's like some kind of 19th century American between the wars kind of naval commodore. I don't know who's he supposed to be. Cadwallader Ringgold or something? I don't know. I think he's an obscure, that Cap'n Crunch. It's not, Crunch is not his real name. That's like a pirate name that you get. So, oh yeah, that's old Captain Crunch. I don't even want to tell you what he does to you. He's going to crunch you. I hope I don't. Oh, I would love to be, I would rather be a salve to you. I would rather be something that you rub on yourself, on your soul. Say, oh, Hardy's coming over. I'm going to feel much better. He's like a salve. He's like some sort of tiger balm or anything. I don't know if he freezes or burns, but I know that I feel better. When I wrote, also, today he smells like, is it lavender? Or what is that? What is that odor? It's gardenia. You like it? It's a little overpowering, but I still like it. That's the thing about love. Love is like flowers, really. Say, it could be overpowering like a gardenia. Say, oh, that love, your love is almost too, smells too nice. It's a kind of sickly sweet love. Or it can be completely odorless, like a lot of flowers have no odor. So how do they survive in the wilderness with no odor? Oh, no, that's super possible. Why do you think it's not? They attract bees to them using other things like brightly, like their bright colors. Friends, do we do that? Do we often use bright colors on our faces or something to attract insects to us, only to find we didn't want a bunch of bees on our face? And I think that we do that to ourselves self-consciously. Oh, friend, I'm just kidding you. I'd never give you advice. I'm not that type of friend. I'm more like a dog who talks. And if your dog could talk, it'd have nothing to say, really. I don't know, unless it's going out and doing something in the world. It'd be probably, if my dogs could talk, they would just be talk obsessively about chipmunks, I think. So, yep, I got that chipmunk is out there. I think I saw him again. And that's all they talk about. And you go, man, you got to change the subject. Food? Is food ready? And that's it. That's about it. I'm like that a little bit, I think. And I certainly don't know where you go when you leave the house, just like your dog. I don't know what your troubles are. I'm just glad to see you when you get back. Oh, you sound like a simpleton. Let me break that word down for you. Simple plus ton. Heavy. Ton is a heavy thing. I may be simple, but something. I'm also heavy. I'm a little heavy right now. I've been trying to work out and exercise. It's not because of my health. It's vanity. I just want to look better. I want to look good. I think if you look good, people will treat you differently. No, I don't want to. It's so funny. Do you have to give in to values you don't agree with? Say, oh, everybody seems to be so into pants. So do I have to be? I guess, in a way, sort of. Yeah, if everybody's going along with some things, yes, you do have to agree. I would love grocery stores to be different. Here's something I have no control over. All stores, grocery stores, retail, should have a feeder line. One line into maybe four checkouts. Not individual lines. That's terrible. That's like gambling. Oh, no, no, no. The fairest way to do it,
well, fair. Why do you want fair?
Because everybody could win instead of have some people who lose out to being behind that person who retires when they reach the checkout clerk. They say, I'm just going to live here now. And they start doing stuff with put a chair down and start clipping coupons and everything. And then the ones we're stuck, we get abandoned and up behind that person until there's nothing left but our bones. And then they find our bones and they misidentify them and throw them away. And then years later they go, maybe that was Amelia Earhart. Who knows? We should have saved her bones. That's why it's good to hoard bones. I like to hoard human remains for that reason. You never know. No, that's bizarre that I would say that. But what do we do with our remains? We put them in fields. We line people up instead of stacking them, which I think is not, no one thought ahead there. Could you imagine that? And you go, oh boy, that's now that the cemeteries have outpaced us. That'll be something. Have you ever driven by a large cemetery? Like I think on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway there, I've seen a large cemetery. And I think, wow, that is like, are there more people there than New York? Or how is that possible? Look at all those folks. Do they really all need their own apartment? Couldn't they be sharing or something? So, oh, I don't know what to do with folks. I don't know what to do with them when they're alive. What do we owe others? What are other people going through? The only way to really find out is to exchange souls with them. And I don't like to do that because I feel confined in those you know those things they have to... I don't know if you've ever been in an evil scientist lab. You lay on these slabs, and the person you're switching souls with is next to you, and they put like what looks like a colander on your head. It's silly. And then your soul transfers in the wires between them. Now, a lot of us get a little claustrophobic. They have the now non-claustrophobic soul transfer slab tables. And they got this from the MRI, because a lot of people don't like MRIs either, which also, I don't know if you know how they work. They suck your soul out. They examine it. By asking questions, they put it back in. And your soul will always spill the beans. It'll always go, all right, tumor. Like that. Because it knows. There's two parts of you. There's an autonomic nervous system that does things like breathe and move your bowels and everything without you knowing it. Well, not that. The end part is you. You finish it. But it does most of the editing. And then you have final say of when the poo / film is released. But your heart beats automatically, you breathe automatically, more or less. That's another you, isn't it? That's you. That's like a robot you. And then there's you that seems to sort of live in a little chair in your head. Finally, the cartoon's got this right. You've got little people living in there, steering, and they're kind of trapped in there, and they drive around this little robot. Also, Doctor Who got it right. There's little tiny people living in your head. Your eyes are the bridge. Now, if you've ever seen this, sometimes they'll go, okay, go to combat bridge, and people's head will fly off, because that's combat, and the rest of the body will just sit there. And then this happened to Jeremy Bentham. His head flew off. Combat bridge, you heard? And it separated, and it flew off, and it did, I don't know, it shot lasers out of its eyes at other philosophers. Now, I don't know where you went to school, but that's the way I heard it. Isn't it funny? I mean, that's going to be, that's reality for me. Whatever distorted view I have of the world is reality for me. And how do I know if it's accurate? You know, when we've used the time machine, so-called, it's not really. I just get whisked between possible worlds. I don't always know the rules in the possible world I'm in because sometimes they look virtually identical. I'm going to tell you now something. I'm going to make a confession to you and explain something to you. And it's a little embarrassing because it makes me sound crazy, and I have no way of proving to you that it's correct. I joke a lot about time travel. I go back in time, forward in time. Now, of course I don't. Nobody can time travel. That's not possible. What I do is I jump between possible worlds. I learned a while ago that there are philosophers a lot of mainly dead Australians who believe that all possible worlds are also real. They have physical reality. Well, the minute I heard that, my imagination was excited. Just like I'm excited right now. Oh, my brain started to clap. I said, if that's possible, then maybe I could visit them. And one thing led to another, and I got a machine that enabled me to do that. I don't want to go into specifics, but I'm now able to switch between possible worlds. Now, there's almost an infinite amount. It's finite, but it's infinite. And so when the boys and I jump to another possible world, we want to get to one that's very, very similar. Because we still want to be ourselves, one. And we want to have a similar history so we can sort of have experiences that people have had in this world. Do you follow me so far? Now, sometimes we've miscalculated. And we've gone to possible worlds that are very, very different, and I don't understand the rules necessarily. I feel so disoriented. I have to look to other beings to see what they're doing, and I don't know how to behave. And suddenly, I feel like, I would say fish out of water, but not completely out of water, in a bag of water or something. So what do I do now? Sometimes we experience that in this life. It's like switching between possible worlds. Our world will change in an instant. Something tragic may happen to us or something exciting. We might get some, I just inherited $20 million. Boy, has my life changed. I feel like I'm in another possible world. And you are. Because there's another world where you didn't get the money. Oh, how's that? That seems all very wishy-washy to me. I know, isn't it? That's why I don't explain it to people. So, well, now they're not going to believe me. I have no way of proving I've been to all these places. I've seen other possibilities and everything. And I don't really know if I ever get back to the world that I started in. It's very confusing. And you can go back and listen to the radio show and realize, now, this is not in chronological order. Now, command in chronological order. I'm putting an extra syllable in there because it feels good, feels right. And you know they're not in any kind of order. They don't seem linear. So where is this? They don't seem like they're evolving. It just seems like it was all done out of order, and I'm listening to it in the wrong order. Can that be right, Hardy White? What? My name's not Hardy White. Now I'm just messing with you. Oh, it's fun, isn't it? See, I didn't live in a dorm. So now I'm doing it now in my old age. All right, now I'm tired. Oh, my friends, oh, I realize life can be tough. That's why I'm come over to help you. You say, I don't need any help. Right now you don't, but you may in a month. So you'll be here for a month? Yep. Where am I staying? Oh, I'm like a house guest to you, but I won't be any bother. I really won't. Why are we out of coffee? Oh, I'm sorry. I drank it all up. But other than that, I won't be any bother. I'm going to bother you less and less every day until you won't even know you're here. You'll just think it's my house, and you're my guest. And that doesn't sound right. Oh, friends, it doesn't have to be right. It just has to be close to be right. Wow, I bring you joy. All I ask is that when you're done with the joy, that you return the container to me. It's good stuff. It's the old kind of Tupperware made out of lead. It's very solid, very durable. When I was a young man, my grandmother would display all of her beautiful jello molds and say, oh, why? I don't know. I don't know. She's very proud of them. Hang them on the wall. I think a lot of people hung their copper jello molds on the wall back then as a way of saying, hey, I make jello mold at Thanksgiving with lime jello. And inexplicably, there's radish slices in it. My grandmother would make a savory jello salad, and it would consist of, you'd make a jello mold, maybe in a ring, or I think she had one that looked like grapes or a cornucopia, or I don't know, who knows, one was like Ernest Borgnine's face or something, and these jello molds, you fill up with jello, and then I don't know how you embed the vegetables exactly, maybe a salad shooter, I don't think we had that technology back then. But you'd have diced up radishes, I think maybe chopped celery in it, all the yummy things you associate with jello, in this mold for a savory experience with lime. I'm thinking nowadays people'd add cilantro, and they'd still try to get to eat that. You know, I don't know, man. It's just, it doesn't feel right. Also, I think, Trafe, I think it's made, isn't it made of horse hoofs or something? Jell-O, I don't even know what they make it out of. No, they don't make it out of horse hoofs anymore. They make it out of imported human hands. Oh, all right. I don't think we can do that in this country. Oh, if we were really to compete with the world, we'd have to do things like that. Can you imagine the chief export of your state being like corpses or something like that? But I think in some places of the world, they sell them, say, a company like Carolina Biological or something. Say, I need a human body for my biology class. Dead or alive, they say, when they're taking the order on the phone. And you go, oh, let me get back. I didn't even ask. Let me get back and ask my department head whether he'd like it alive or dead. I don't know. The live one, we could double as faculty. So perhaps we should get the live body. I don't know. But also, I guess the dead one could, too. Who knows? It depends on what level course it's at. It is. Okay. As long as the dead one has a graduate assistant, I don't see why not. Oh, my friends, I hope, you know, do you educate yourself? Now, there's a certain candidate or something that had his own university, which is not in itself a bad thing. I always think about that. Should I have my own university? I wouldn't make anybody else go there because I'm not qualified to do anything. I'd be the only one I feel could attend ethically. Because if I was convinced somebody else to go, I just don't feel it's up to any kind of standards. Calling it a university. Don't you see the quotes? But if I would go, and I would hear myself lecture, and I would always be, like a lot of teachers, one chapter ahead in the book. And it's easy to do that. Check a book at a library on a subject you like, read it, and then read the same thing again the next day. And then that day, the first day, you were the professor. And then you'll remember it because you've read it twice. And this is the way I teach myself things. There's a lot you can teach yourself, but make sure you're getting it from a dead authority. You know, when you get that book, make sure it's not some sort of frivolous thing. Oh, there are so many lies. But don't you say everything is a fiction? It all has to do with it, only relative, only on a large scale. You know what I'm saying? Electricity will kill you. Is just, it's so true. And to deny that is foolish, I think. But, you know, on a grand scale, electricity is a deadly, ha, ha, ha. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends who you are. The rules are different for aunts than they are for aunties. That's what I always say. And that caught on in school. Oh, I want to teach school so bad and I don't know anything. I think it's not that I don't know anything. I just don't know one subject well. I've known what they call depth of knowledge. And it's not very broad either. But what's there is there. I could easily share, right? It might not be a lot, but I almost have an obligation to share it. Biologically, we are born and we are like sponges. All right. We are like sponges that you used to get at expos. You say, is this your business card? And they say, yes, it's my business card. Now dip it in water. And you go, whoa, it's actually a sponge. How do I get it back to being a business card? And they're gone because you can't. They've tricked you. Once it's hydrated like that, once it's a sponge, it can't go back to being a business card. Once you have a little bit of learning, my friend, once you let some of that moisture, which is knowledge, into yourself, you will expand and you will never be able to be compressed again to that two-dimensional being that you started. Now you're a three-dimensional being, you have depth. Oh, spongehead friends, just let it, oh, absorb it. That's what I say. Also, you might want to put some disinfectant there occasionally. You know, sponges, they can also get stuff growing on them. You know, keep it active. Keep fresh things in your sponge all the time, my friends. That's jar. Soak it up. Now, all that nonsense you were saying about the Buddha earlier, a lot of that was wrong. I've gone to school. I understand you present some disinformation. Excuse me, I have to cough. 1 hour later. Oh, that's better. A lot of the things that you say, Hardy, you know, are not correct. And they're disinformation or misinformation. And I say this, even in mis and disinformation is information, right? It's just wrong.
So that's also information. Negative results. Negative data is data is data. That's what they say. Data doesn't say that because he has self-identity. The Star Trek one says, no, I'm not. I call myself Datum, is what I say. Oh, bless all you. Why are you always blessing me? Well, I think this largely, too. I think that there's so much life, good emotions. I'm collecting my thoughts now. Why don't you come back later? Why don't you come back? I guess I'm not prepared to do the show because I'm collecting my thoughts. I'm going to say your emotions and all things you feel, I believe, are like palm olive. And you are soaking in it. So this is what I believe. I believe that if you want to get your hands saturated with soap, you need to stick it in a bowl of soap. And so when I put out something positive to you, it may be made up. And it may be an illusion. But, you know, it works. You know, you can trick people into being happy sometimes. That's what we get together. You know, trick your brain out of despondency and things. That's all right. That's valid. You know, when we go to the circus or we go to a magic show or something, we love to be fooled and it entertains us and we feel free and giddy and we feel like a child again because a child has that experience. Where did your nose go? You know, that kind of thing. And that wears off. We go, oh, I know where noses go now. Nothing excites me anymore. So we love, you know, being fooled is exciting to us. And art can do that. And deceptive friends, things like that. You know, hallucinatory, like psychedelic drugs, I guess. Blood pressure medication. Blood predator medication. That's, I've taken that for vampirism. Oh, je suis un vampire. I'm a French vampire. And what I'd like to do, I just jump from roof to roof. Like Les Vampires, that old show. Do you remember that? Are you from the 20s? Oh, you don't time travel. And nor do I. I just want to be clear about that. I hate to lie, but I do it anyway because I feel like I have to. Because I know I don't know what's true. So if I feel confident about anything I say to you, the guilt I feel. I feel like I'm propagandizing something. I know how I change from year to year. I could be saying, oh, I remember I went through this stage where I thought amaranth was just the miracle grain. Amaranth, amaranth, amaranth. So much protein in amaranth. And I was cooking with it. I was making it all the time. And I was eating. And I go, oh, yes, it's a grain, but it tastes kind of green. And I grew the plants and they're weeds. And you can't really get the grain. But I was so in love with amaranth. Now, I listen back to my proselytizing about amaranth and go, oh, silly me. I should have made something up. Why did I think that I could find some sort of truth and pass that on? That's for each to find. I don't know if we can ever transfer that feeling that we have to others always. Oh, we try with art and poetry. I try with this radio show. How can I give you the feeling that's in me now? Oh, I want you to have it. But I think it's one of those things that causes itself because this feeling comes from being able to be with you, my friend. Come on in to Hardy's Kitchen. Sit down. Are you sure it's your kitchen? It's not my kitchen, but that's all right. They're going to be back for a while. That makes me uneasy, sitting someplace where they don't know we're here. Yeah, that's a metaphor, though. So just sit here. It's okay. They won't be back for a while. We're not going to get in trouble. They won't walk in and shoot us. We're sitting in someone else's kitchen. So what? You want anything? Isn't that stealing? It's not stealing if you are... Do you want anything? No, you're asking some good questions, though. These are good questions. Let's go ahead and eat, and then we'll resolve all these ethical questions. Meet our needs, and then we'll worry about things. That's what I say. Feed the poor, and then worry about whether you're doing the right thing. People say, oh, you don't want to feed people, give people stuff, or give people money. You don't know what they're going to do with it. I'll worry about that later. I think take care of immediate needs. If someone's hungry, feed them. If someone's hurting, help them. If someone's sad, try to make them happy. You know, we can worry about whether that's the right thing later. But I tell you, even a simpleton, a little dog, knows what to do. If it gets more complicated than that, then we'll just take care of it, a Torah study or something. But boy, Lord, if somebody needs something, give it to them right then. What the heck? Who cares if they deserve it? None of us deserve anything. You don't deserve anything. Silly. We're all idiots. Come on now. Help people out, your cousins and your brothers. They look so different from me. Look at their faces, how different they look. Yeah, you look kind of different too. To my race of beings from outer space. And I could be. You don't haven't exactly seen my face. You've seen someone you thought was me, maybe. You know? I've had this happen. Hey, Hardy, I saw you walking down the street in Cincinnati. I think, well, that might have been me. Actually, I live fairly close to Cincinnati. So, I saw you walking down the street in Los Angeles. That wasn't me. That was definitely not me. See? So I could have sworn it was you. I know. Isn't that crazy? It wasn't me, though. And maybe this isn't me. No one knows anything. I need a new hat. I've got so many hats. I think I buy them compulsively. Why? I want to change the way I look. I used to shave my beard and grow it back again. But now I think I've moved on to hats. A hat might help define me. A hat might help communicate things before I get to people. I could be walking down the street and they say, okay, I'm getting a vibe from that guy's hat. So what kind of hat? Well, different hats say different things. I got a long white beard, so I have to wear a bowler. No, that's crazy. There goes that guy. Is there some sort of Eric Satie convention or something in town? I'm seeing a lot of guys with white beards and bowlers. No, that's just Hardy White trying out hats, trying on different sort of people, trying personalities too. When you're a young person, say, I don't know what I want to be, you know? I'm trying out cliques. Like people church shop. You know, I'm going clique shopping. I'm going to try different cliques. I'm not sure where I fit in yet. I think I'll start out with the athlete bullies or something. No, I don't think you can just join them. That's pretty elite. No, you know, there's all sorts of things you can into. A lot of printing. That's a click. All those people who go, oh, we got a printing press. And we have a co-op for it. So you can sign up to use it for your art. Well, that click. And then there's, I don't know. There's countless, you know. The worst are people who ferment their own sauerkraut. Oh, yeah, I make my own pickles. Oh, I make my own sauerkraut. Oh, I homebrew. Click, 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 click. No, I'm just funning. Those aren't cliques. Those are like-minded people who enjoy doing things you do. Those are clubs. Those are fun to be in. I like that. I'm not currently in any clubs because you have to always sign some sort of calendar to bring a snack, and I'm just not that dependable. So I would go, my luck would be this. So, okay, we meet every Thursday. All right. Now, 3 Thursdays from now, Hardy, you bring the snack. Okay. I know something's going to happen. What do you mean? I know I won't be there that Thursday. What do you want to do it the following Thursday? No. Because then the same thing will happen. I'll be there every Thursday but that one. See, I just know that. I know I let you down. So is there any way I can get out of bringing the snack? And go, no, everybody in the club has to do it. You can't be in the club. All right. Thank you. Good day, sir. That's just it. I know myself. I don't want to, you know, I wouldn't, there's a lot of teams I wouldn't put myself on. One of them is acrobat, the swinging from the high wire and everything. No, they don't swing from the high wire. Trapeze, that's the word I want. Trapeze. I wouldn't be able, I'm not going to guarantee, I can't catch you, I guess is what I'm saying. I can't hang by my feet and I can't climb up that high. I have acrophobia. So there you go. I'm telling you that right now. I cannot join you, Willendas. And they do that. Do they do the high wire, though? Oh, I have memories of that. Carl Willenda plummeting to his death. I didn't need to see that. I wonder why we risk our lives like that to achieve some things. And you wonder if they're worth it. So you can see, I died trying to discover Bermuda or something. Oh, well. No, that was discovered by accident. What could you tell? I died trying to discover X-rays or something, ultimately, because of radiation. But is it worth it always, I wonder? Are our individual lives worth anything? Is the collective lives worth anything? Oh, my goodness, that's something we can work out till our days are ended. But right now, I like to do things immediately. Oh, it's always the moment for Hardy. Hardy, when were you born? I was born. Let's see. What's the time? 34 minutes ago. And I'm going to die in 26 minutes. Isn't that amazing? That's it. I was born and die. I'm like, I have the lifespan of a fruit fly. Oh, they're going to come
Hunt Morgan is going to come examine me in his fly room and look at my DNA and say, look at this little short life. He only lived for an hour, but he touched people, just like a fly does. Only lives for a day, but it touches you in all sorts of places that you don't want to be touched. Like, get off me, fly. Shoo. I almost bought a fly whisk this season. I was having problems with flies. I don't know why. Maybe there's a lot of rotten things around where I live. But I was going to get a fly whisk because of my fascination with the Chinese immortals. There's 8 Chinese immortals. I've met some of them. They are charming, charming people, which you'd think because they've been alive so long, really. They've met so many people that they're remarkable conversationalists. But one of them, now I don't remember which, I'm sorry, has a fly whisk. Now, a lot of times you use it for horses or anything. You use it for yourself. It's like horsehair on a stick, and you use it to get the flies away. And I thought, oh, I would look like, that'd be remarkable. I would look like some sort of Taoist master or something if I had that, a mendicant Taoist monk. Oh, that's here. I'm holding out my bowl. Could I get some money from it? I will gladly. Who's the monk who said, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger? When? Today. Yep, that's J. Wimpy Wellington, also known as Wimpy. Oh, from Popeye. Oh, Popeye teaches us so much. So much. Oh, my goodness. Look at some of those old cartoons. I think you will learn a lot from them. So, well, look, they look so distorted and crazy. Oh, so do you, my friend. So do you. Oh, look at the absurdity of humankind. Look how absurd we are. I heard somebody talk about absurd. I heard somebody, I read in print the other day, someone saying that we have too much civility. I said, well, that's crazy. Really, I'm not seeing that, but maybe. Maybe time to get less civil with one another. So I don't know. I mean, I love the Three Stooges. They bring me joy. So I'm thinking just walk up to people and slap them around. See what happens. Poke them in the eye. No, no. Bless you. Don't do that. No. I love when people are gentle with me and gracious and helpful. Oh, I love that. Don't you? That's what I want to do. Oh, whenever I see a person like that, I want to be like them. They become my hero. I said, look at that helpful, gentle person. They change the people that they're around. I've met people like that. Haven't you? So they go, oh my gosh. They change. You know, they walk into a room and everybody people feel at ease. They feel accepted. They feel loved. And I'm not like, I walk into a room, people feel nervous because they sense my nerves. People! And then they pick up on that, you know? Just like a dog. I'm a nervous dog. Like a shaky, shaky, tiny dog in my heart, you know? And so I get, when you show me mercy, just like a shaky, tiny dog, I love you so much. Thank you for being nice to me. I expected you to crush my skull. So I tell you, I'm in almost a permanent state of thankfulness because I really am terrified of the world. Especially, I've been reading the news lately. Don't do that. And it's ancient. It's medieval, I say. There's another period. That's another possible word. We have medieval here, but there is a period called Middle Evil period in another possible world. And I get them confused because it was truly evil. And the middle part, I'm not sure about. But again, I'm no scholar, you know? I'm no teacher. I'm no professor. I'm no guru. What do you call it? Phlebotomist? Or I don't give manicures, you know? I'm no cosmologist, cosmetician. I'm none of those things. I'm just myself. And I haven't stuck to any one thing long enough, I think, to get really brilliant at it. I thought it was going to be needlepoint, but I just couldn't stick with it long enough. I liked it a lot. I started getting a lot of the stuff. Did you ever do that? Pick up a hobby? So I'll get the bag, I'll get the container. And fishing, I did that. So okay, I'll get the fishing tackle box, you know, and we'll fill it up. Oh, I had so much stuff in it. Never went fishing. But I just start buying the stuff. I want to get a good reel and everything. I literally never went. But I like getting the stuff, you know. I like accumulating the hobby stuff. But I can't stick with it. I don't know what's wrong with me. I get a lack of self-discipline. I need to go into my own A military academy. The military academy of my soul. First, I'm going to start at a very low rank, but I'm going to promote myself quickly because we have a leadership void. So I'm going to go from buck private to commandant probably in a matter of seconds, just so I can run the place. You know what I'm saying? I'll worry about recruiting later. I do that all the time. I'm both a teacher and a student to myself. I'm both a parent and a child to myself. I am both a temperamental chef and a demanding customer to myself. And oh, they're feuding right now. But I'm all those things, I believe. And because I feel like it's my responsibility to make up some sort of purpose, because the only purpose in life seems to be a biological one, and everything else, the other one we can choose. And choosing it doesn't make it true. I know, frustrating. Frustrating. Well, there must be one actual real purpose, right, outside of the biological one. Yes, why? Why would you think that? Why wouldn't you think that the totality of this thing is everything, is the answer, the thing you witness? Why wouldn't you think the thing you're looking at is the reason? Why would you think there's a hidden, mystical reason? You just look at the world, and it looks pretty clear what the reason for things are, what their purpose is, and looks fairly clear. Because it's sort of absurd and self-referential, you think that can't be true, but oh well. Oh, my friends, don't torture yourself. Don't torture yourself. Come in to the Hardy White circus of madness, of chaos, and realize you live in a whole universe based on a paradox. Oh, when you do that, you're sort of free. I'm free to be ridiculous. I can go anywhere now. I can do anything. Now, last week, I played a little harmonica for you, but it got caught in my beard hair. So today, I would just like to do some pieces on slide whistle. Now, this is an actual instrument, and I've got it. It's really a suite, and it begins with Man Falling. It's a piece called Man Falling Down. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. This is actually the second part of the same piece, and I call it Falling Up. Thank you. And here's a series of variations. All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Now I'd like to play A Whisper in the Night, ELO. That I haven't practiced. I'm going to get on that for you. Do you ever want to perform without practicing? Say, oh, gosh, I just want to jump on stage and get the love. I got nothing to offer you. Just get up here and be silly. You want me to tap dance? I don't care if you give me the hook. I just wanted to stand up in front of my fellow human beings and say, oh, if I could bring you any joy, even from my failure, from my foolishness, let me do it. Oh, that is my prayer. Do you ever pray? Do you ever say, oh, I'm an atheist, but I really want to pray? Sure, just make it into a song or something. If it doesn't matter, if nobody's listening, that's an even better prayer. Your listening's meant for you anyway. Listen to your own voice. Say, what would I cry out to the universe for? Maybe I could give it to myself. Have you ever asked out loud what you need? Maybe you've already got it or you can get it. So go ahead. Cry out, Hardy. What do you want? I want the superpower of flight. Okay, well, all right, that one's no, really. A little bit. People have wanted that for a long time, and so they make machines and everything. And I think most of our dreams can be met with these inventions or machines. We change our environment. We change ourselves. I could build wings, and they would work like real wings. Life has not given me this thing. I can make it myself. Life has not made my face into a hideous clown face, but I can use makeup. Oh, you don't realize so many things can be solved with your own ingenuity and your own imagination. When I watch a good movie or I read a good book, and there's an imaginary world. I said, boy, I like that writer. That writer takes me into a place, an exciting imaginary place. I wish that Well, wait. I found out how they do it. They make up things in their mind. Isn't that interesting? They make it up. And I was thinking, if they can do that, I can do it. They just write it down. So I've been doing this lately. I'll sit around and I'll think up a story and I'll just tell it to myself. And now, you know, as I'm thinking it, as I'm making it up, it's completely fresh to me. It isn't like, I'm making it up on the spot. So I'm telling myself a story. For instance, the serial that we heard at the top of the show. All right, something has happened to Lou. Now, Lou has been sent to maybe a jungle or something, and we heard the growl of a monster. Well, it turns out that he is on an island, and he is on an island that is populated by gigantic crocodiles, 50 feet long, monster crocodiles, almost like dinosaurs. He starts running for his life as he hears these primitive growls and grunts of these hideous reptilian creatures, these monsters, these flesh-eating machines. And he runs, and then he encounters another human being. Who is he? Bumps into it. And it is the manager of the hotel on this monster island. There's a hotel. There's a grand hotel on the island of monster crocodiles. And the crocodiles don't touch the hotel because it's up on a slight hill and surrounded by geraniums, which in this world are repulsive to crocodiles. And so all the guests are safe there. If they can make it to the hotel at all, if they can get past this sea of crocodiles, then they are able to reside in this beautiful place and have the vacation of their lives if they can survive the primitive monster. If they cannot be eaten. And so Lou arrives there, and the manager takes him to the hotel. They get there to the hotel, and they have a suite waiting. But they think that Lou is Hardy White, because this is a different possible world, do you understand? Where Lou is named Hardy White. Maybe Hardy White is in a world where he is named Lou, and he doesn't know where he is, and he doesn't know how to act. At the end of her life, my grandmother had dementia. Oh, what a sweet lady she was her whole life. Well, mostly. You know how people are. Kind of mostly sweet, but pretty cool. And I loved her. But she had terrible dementia near the end of her life. Didn't always know where she was at any given time. Sometimes get very upset about it. She would call me and she'd say, Hardy, you got to come get me. I took my bicycle down to Fort Lauderdale and I'm at a hotel. And she wasn't. She's at the convalescence home, and I knew that. I said, Granny, I'll be there. But she was struggling just the way she would if she really was in a situation like that, if she really had gone to another possible world and was completely disoriented. But, you know, she kept something essential about herself. Now, when the brain deteriorates, it doesn't always. Your personality changed. But she's kept her smile. And it was remarkable. Throughout all this, she would smile at people. And it was like some sort of universal pass or language. And without really being able to interact or remember anything, people loved her just for smiling. Isn't that amazing? Just for smiling. So I'll tell you what, if you're confused, I mean, other than if something's really wrong with your brain, you just got that natural human confusion, just got that natural human disorientation. To say, man, you know, the world never was something that I had figured out. That's kind of an illusion. It's always been confusing. It's always been a mess. And those who think they have it mastered, they're just fooling too. Oh, don't be deceived. We've all have something that gives us contentment that we retreat to. But I think it's all made up. So let me make something up for you. Let me make up Hardy White's Miracle Nutrition, a place that you can go, that you can escape to like a teen club. Where am I going after school, not get in trouble? Miracle Nutrition, come on over here. I got board games and things. We can sit around. I got card games. These cards are fun. They're Yiddish flashcards. Fun. I got other card games. I got Rook. Y'all play Rook? We could do that. Stay out of trouble. Make our own snow cones. Fun. Savory Jell-O time. Is there carrots in it? Could be anything in there. Suet, even. No, suet and Jell-O. Suet's for pudding. Those British puddings made of people's blood and everything. Well, maybe not people's blood. I don't know. That seems the people's blood. It seems better like that. Okay, that sounds better. It doesn't sound so bad. That sounds more collectivist. Yeah, it's the vampires are really like that. They don't care whose blood. Could be anyway. It's all mixed in there. Some of it's tomato juice. You can't tell. It's like melamine and Chinese powdered milk. It's just, I can't visually tell the difference. See? So you don't know what's in what. Oh, let me tell you something. Let me pause out for just 1 minute to say something. What am I hearing? See, isn't that crazy? I know. It's Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. They let me do this. And I don't know why. And I don't know how long it'll continue. But here's the deal. So these operations that take money and all, and we're a little, I'm a little short. I gladly pay you Tuesday for a generous donation to WFMU today. We're just doing a little mini marathon. I can't talk about it long. It's very on the down because we're a little embarrassed that we need your help. But if you could just go to the FMU.org pages and donate a little money. If you want to say, oh, my show, you know, it just comes up and say, oh, I like that. It's just like a sort of a vote. We're all trying to raise money. So do that. And I, if you've already given, I will thank you. I haven't got my fresh thank you list. But when I do, I'm going to thank you all on the air. You can hear your name and bless you. Get a shirt or something. Oh, my friends, we're all in this together. It's like in a lifeboat, and as I come to you and go, oh, we're collecting to fix the lifeboat leak. I'll give to that. Oh, I know you will. Oh, you're my friends. It doesn't help that we don't ever see each other, because then we're all in a constant state of longing, which is nice. Because, you know, once you've eaten, you go, oh, now I'm full. I want pancakes. I feel sick. You only think you want pancakes. That's the thing, see? I say, after you've filled that need, then what? Right? So I always keep myself on the edge of that. I say, well, I don't, maybe I won't get, you know, pursue my dreams. Because, you know, then what? What if I catch them? That would be crazy. I don't want to do that. I don't want to ever catch my dreams. I don't even know what they are. I try not to think about it. So don't you have dreams, Hardy? Yeah, just the normal ones, like where crazy stuff happens. But not, if you mean, do I have, visualize some sort of long-term desires? I wish I was on Merv Griffin or something. No, not really. I don't know. I just, whither the fates may blow. They're taking me now. I think that's enough. That seems like enough direction. Also, you know, I'm not super into free will. So I think whatever I do, I'm supposed to do. I know maybe that's lame, but, you know, it's just going to happen. And I seem to be bumbling along in the right way. And I think maybe that's just because I recognize that I'm bumbling. And that's keeping me from messing up too badly. I hope, you know, gosh, every week I try to be light and jokey and everything, but every week I read about people in so much trouble, and I just want to give you such a big hug and everything. I'm not kidding. I think, Joy, but there's enough getting kicked in the groin in life. That'll do it to you. That I just, gosh, as just a fellow human being, it just gives me pause. I want to extend to you the idea that there's love out there, and if somebody's not giving it to you now, it doesn't mean you don't deserve it. You deserve it, friend, and you deserve your basic needs met as a human being. I can't, if any of you are hungry or thirsty or lonely or worried or anything, oh my gosh, I'm telling you, there's plenty of human beings who feel for you and would want to help you. So just know that, and it doesn't always get done, but don't be discouraged. Oh, there's also horrible, horrible people, too, about them. Oh, fun. Oh, gosh. You know, all cool houses need at least one room that has foil wallpaper. That's the way I look at it. It just spices up life a little bit. and some people are felt and foil wallpaper. Actually, some of that's cool. My grandparents had that. It was like the floor, you know, I feel like it was gold fleur-de-lis on a fuzzy fleur-de-lis on a shiny gold background, but that's not possible. But I wonder if that's true. And that was their dining room. And I think at the time it was class. And I remember rubbing it and said, oh, it feels nice. I love feeling this wallpaper. What is that? Anybody else remember fuzzy wallpaper? I do. Oh, I'm so old. I'm not going to be here much longer. Another, gosh, I don't know when I'm going to live. 50 years maybe. No, that's not. I had a neighbor who was 100 and something. Why not me? Because you don't take very good care of yourself. All right, whatever. I don't care. Whatever the Lord gives me, gives me another minute, another 50 years, whatever. I feel like I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Possibly not on the radio, but I'm just going to start reaching out to my fellow human beings. And, bless you so much for listening to me now. You are actually listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU, East Orange, WMFU, Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Oh, my friends, thank you so much, and I'll see you again next week.
I was standing. I was standing at the crossroads. And
today is in a bad condition. Oh, yeah. People don't church like they used to church long time ago. Oh, no. And I want to tell you something now. That's what's wrong.
That's wrong with the church today.
God don't like it, you're right.
That's wrong with the church today.
You supposed to be right.
Oh, yes.
But they're tipping around with the neighbor's wife.
Oh, yes.
God despises folks that break up homes.
You better leave those women alone.
And that's what's wrong.
That's what's wrong with the church today.
God don't like a change. Sister, I don't know what you laughing about.
Oh no!
You come to church, you wanna jump and shout.
Oh yeah!
But when your husband isn't nowhere around,
you fool around with every man in town.
And that's what's wrong.
That's what's wrong with the church today.
God don't like it.
That's what's wrong with the church today.
You better get ready to meet God on judgment day.
Wait a minute.
Some of the songsters do worse than that.
Oh yes.
When they get among women, they wanna be a hepcat.
Oh yes.
They drink,
ooh,
they tips,
ooh,
and stay out all night long.
I mean, they get in church, they can't sing their song.
And that's what's wrong.
That's what's wrong with the church today.
God don't like it.
That's what's wrong with the church today.
You better get ready
to meet God on judgment day.
Listen.
Look, yeah, Reverend, I hate to mention this. But some of the preachers in an awful fix.
Oh, yes.
They visit the sisters and ask them to make chicken stew.
And if they have the night at home, they want to make love to.
And that's what's wrong.
That's what's wrong with the church today.
God don't like it.
That's what's wrong with the church today.
You better get ready
to meet God on judgment day.
Derek Clark, this is Dorothy Thomas calling you. We have a new preacher now, and a good one, and a Bible preacher, too. And come on back now to the Lord before it's too late. It ain't, you know, the world is not getting any better. It's getting worse and worse all the time. So the Lord will come any time, and we as Christians are the ones supposed to be looking for him. Come on back. I remember when you used to hang in there. Please come back to the Lord. Please. Bye-bye.